kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2. Psalm 92, verses 1 to 2, which says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." And so it goes on. Well, I've read those two verses out because that explains the title of our teaching today. And I'm calling this, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." It is good to give thanks to the Lord. We also see in another psalm, if we turn on to Psalm 107... Psalm 107, and look at verses 8 and 9 of 107, verses 8 and 9. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the tongue, the longing soul, and fills the hungry soul with goodness." And the stress in that psalm is, oh, that man would thank the Lord. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. That's the stress that runs through it. For example, if we see in verses 14 and 15, "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then it goes on, verses 17 through to 22, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. And he sent his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And as I said, we're calling this today, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord." We have such psalms like this, particularly Psalm 107, which speaks of Israel's deliverance from bondage, bringing a nation out of Babylon. But so often they failed to give thanks. So often they forgot what God had done and was doing. And this is human nature, and we do it as well. You see, we need to understand that thanksgiving is important because it separates us from the world and the world's ways, the world's speech, the world's thinking, the world's ungratefulness, moaning and griping, always finding fault. Being thankful is a clear sign of separation in our lives. It's a clear sign that we belong to the Lord and that we are his. For example, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we're talking today about being thankful, giving thanks to the Lord. And we're going to look at why this is important and how it goes in our favour. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 4 to 7, and it says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. So here again it's speaking about the importance of our speech, and particularly the fact of gratitude, of giving of thanks. And he says it in the light of no foolish talking, no filthiness, no coarse jesting, but rather giving of thanks. It is so easy to let our conversation, our language become just worldly. And you will always find that when you side with those you're talking in the world with, you will never be giving thanks and glory to God. Because he says, for this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man, or an idolater, has any inheritance of the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why does he stress that? Because they are not people who give thanks to the Lord. That's why. Let no one deceive you with empty words. So just empty words, the usual talk that we find out there, that we find amongst people, and sadly with our own families. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. Many times we should find that in situations like that, and we find ourselves at times in situations like that, or with our own families, it's often best just to keep quiet and not say anything. Because it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to praise Him. And so we do need to be on our guard. Because what comes out of our mouth should be positive. Should give praise and thanks to the Lord. We shouldn't talk and be like the world, and it's negative. And God will do this if we want this in our lives, because it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's easy to give thanks to the Lord if you're with another brother or sister, or we come to a meeting and whatever, and of course it is right to give thanks to the Lord, to praise Him and whatever. But we're tested when we're out in that world. And there's the difference. And another thing that is important when we give thanks to the Lord, because it brings peace, harmony to your life. It ministers peace to your mind and your soul. For example, in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 15 to 17. Verses 15 to 17 of Colossians 3. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called, and in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And he says, and be thankful. Be thankful for what God is doing. How he's changing you, how he's working in your life. How he's working these godly affections and attitudes within us. That change that is taking place. He says, be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, and so on. So we need this word to dwell within us. And there is a clear sign that if the word of God is in your heart, you study the word of God, you read it, then it's going to make you a saint that is grateful, that is thankful. It just works that way by the Holy Spirit. Instead of griping and moaning like the world does and agreeing with the world, we have to be so on our guard with that. And it's best at times, and we get it with our own families, it's best just to keep quiet and not enter into it. Because the whole conversation and everything doesn't give thanks or glory to God. We're also told that giving thanks and being grateful to God is even greater than sacrifice. For example, in Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves. So there we are. He's showing that it's better to give thanks, to be grateful, than even your sacrifice. And we are indeed to sacrifice. It's not to say that we're not. But look where it puts it in the list. It puts it right up there at the top. When we thank the Lord and we are grateful and we praise him in whatever situation we find ourselves or what we're going through, because we know that everything's working together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's why we thank him and praise him. It may look very, very negative, but it's working together for good. It's going to bear fruit in your life. What does it say? I have quite a few scriptures here, but I really want the word of God to speak with this. For example, in Luke 24 and verse 52 and 53. Luke 24 and verse 52 and 53. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So there we are. Christ has ascended. They've come back. They're now going to gather together, wait in the upper room for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And look how they come back. He says, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God and so on. Do you have a problem worshipping, praising God? Do you find that you don't sing much praise and worship to him at home? It's because you're not thankful. That's why. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. When we realise that there is depression working and oppression, it's because I'm not thankful. I'm not seeing the bigger picture. I'm not seeing what God is doing every day, every second moment in my life. We're looking to other situations, or we're looking to other saints who seem to get more blessed than I do. The enemy is very good at the way he can veer us off and get us to look at wrong things. What does it say in Acts 2 and verse 46 to 47? Acts chapter 2, 46 to 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So there we are. We see the power of gratitude, of thanks. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. That's what we're talking about. And it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. They didn't make it complicated. Their lives were simple. Their diet was simple. They didn't have much, but they were praising God, having favor with all the people. So it was effective. It was rubbing off. When you are a thankful person, a gracious person, it rubs off to other people. They pick it up. They start to think, why is that person so grateful, thanking me just for something so simple or so small or whatever it would be? It rubs off. Don't we like to see children who are grateful? Children who have been brought up to give thanks, to thank people when they're given a present or given pocket money or whatever it is. We live in a generation now where young people don't do that sort of thing. In fact, they expect it. You see, it's wrong. Even children should know to give thanks, and that is in the world. Well, how much more with God? Because it speaks. It is a witness. When you give thanks and you are gracious, even in the body of Christ, it will help to teach those who are not so good at it. Because it's right, it's good, it's proper. It glorifies God. We've seen that it's even better than sacrifice to be thankful, to have a thankful heart and attitude. You know, we can't bring expensive offerings, but we can bring a heart of praise and thanksgiving before the Lord. That's why the poor, the destitute, can praise God, because they can have a thankful heart. They may not have many possessions, but they have the greatest possession in their heart, and thanking and acknowledging God. You see, the Bible is taken up with much on praise and thanks. You know, a church that worships, a church where God comes down in the midst and joins that praise and worship, that is a church that is thanking God from the heart. God knows our motives. He knows our hearts. And if we want to see more of God in our meetings, then that is the key to it, brothers and sisters. You see, giving thanks is a result of being filled with the knowledge of God. If you're not a very thankful and appreciative person, that is a clear sign you don't really have much knowledge of God. And you have need of it. Because when you know God, you know to give God the thanks and the praise and the glory. And when people do something for you, or they go that extra mile for you, or whatever it would be, you reveal a thankful heart because that was God moving through that person to bless you. There's always a bigger picture that is attached to it. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father in heaven, of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So here it is. If a church is thankful and thanking God, then it will speak to one another. And how does it speak? It says it speaks in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. It's not a drudge. It's a joy. It should come in naturally, flowing out of you. If you're a man or woman that is thankful, that is appreciative, it says giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So always giving thanks, not just now and again, not just doing it because you're going to hear a teaching today. It's always. It should be part of us. Our new nature. That's what it's saying. And then will flow this worship. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, encouraging testimonies, sharing what the Lord is doing. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. The trouble is, so many in the house of God are not thankful. They're not grateful. And that is why they find it difficult to praise God. And very little comes out of them. But when we find we acknowledge and we thank God and we are appreciative and we thank one another, then will come these spiritual songs and hymns, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Praising God, and it's not a drudge. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father. And so it goes on. Great power when we are thankful, when we give thanks to the Lord. And we live in a generation now that is so unthankful, that gripes and moans and demands my human rights and so on. We so have to be on our guards, brothers and sisters. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12? 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. For the administration of this service is not only applied to the needs of the saints, but also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So there we are. The apostle, through their giving, their sharing, but he also mentions their many thanksgivings to God. They're grateful people for what they got, and sometimes they only got very little. One of the things that I have learnt so much about being grateful and thankful is when going and visiting India and sharing and being amongst the saints there, who some of them have virtually nothing. And yet, the thanks, the praise, the appreciation that comes out of them. Gosh, you learn so much. You learn so much. We're so spoilt in the West. We so demand and expect things because of our pride. We're not grateful. And this is the problem, and this is why we don't reveal the love and graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as we should. But you know, if you want this, then God's going to work this, and this will rub off. This will be a great witness to other people and to a dying world out there. Well, what are the consequences then of not thanking God? I've already pointed out various things, how important it is that it bears consequences. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 to 21. We know this well. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. So in other words, they're without excuse. God has revealed. They have a conscience. They have eyes. They see God's creation. They have all been given blessings, food on the table, and so on. And it goes on, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So look what it does. When you are not thankful, you start to become foolish. Your hearts start to darken. And when your hearts start to darken, so does your mind. And what does your mind open to? To depression. And we have depression today like a plague globally. And do you know why? Because people are no longer thankful. They no longer anymore retain God in their mind and heart. They're not appreciative and so on. It's not rocket science, brothers and sisters. It's all there. Psychologists and psychiatry need to read things like this. What does it say in Philippians? Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So there we go. We know this one very well. But he says, be anxious for nothing. But if you've got a prayer life, which is important, and we're all called to prayer, we take prayer very seriously, then our prayers include supplications and our prayers include thanksgiving. Some of the answers to your prayers, to the prayer of faith, requires thanksgiving. And maybe that's why you don't receive, because you're not thankful. You say to me, well, how can I be thankful if I haven't received? Well, that's what your faith is for. Your faith believes that it's received the moment you ask God in faith. And your faith then acts, and part of that acting is thanking God for the answer, thanking that I have received this in Jesus' name, even though I can't see it yet. And that's what's missing. I'll only thank him when I see it. And God isn't going to have that. Thanking God is part of our faith, our confession, our belief in the Word of God. Just simply reading these verses, these promises, we can thank him and praise him. You see, the failure to return thanks is one of the principal reasons for the revelation of the wrath of God. And that's why God is giving man up to a reprobate mind, a seared mind, because that is one of the characteristic problems. No longer is he thankful, no longer is he appreciative. And God gives them over. He did exactly the same with the children of Israel. There is the warning, historically speaking. They did nothing but gripe and moan, and they wished that they were back in Egypt, and God gave them up. We know they perished in the wilderness. Why? Because they were not thankful. They were not appreciative. They griped and they moaned. And we have to be so careful. And that's why we have to be separate from the world, because that is what they do. And we take it on board. We start siding with it, agreeing with it. We have to be very careful. There are demonic forces behind all of this that will oppress and bring you down. And start to sap away the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And that's why the children of Israel never made it into the promised land. They were ungrateful, unthankful. And when you're ungrateful, you're unthankful, do you know what it always results to? Complaining. Griping. Negative, can't speak positively about anything. That's what it does. And I think we all know people that are like that. We've probably got them in our family. You might even be married to one. And when you're negative and complaining, you won't find many people who want to be, will be in your presence for very long. But as I bring this to a conclusion, brothers and sisters, it's good to give thanks to the Lord. It's good to be appreciative, because also this is going to make us effective in prayer and in warfare as well. You cannot go into warfare binding the enemy if you are not somebody who is grateful, who is thankful, and who doesn't really praise the Lord. It should just be automatic. You see, what I'm talking about is what comes out of our innermost being, those rivers of living water that just come out from us. And this is all part of it. And we know the importance of water because it quenches the thirst. It waters the land, so that it would be fruitful, and so on. And that should be spiritually our lives and our witness. It's a very bad witness that a Christian who professes themselves a Christian, who gripes and moans and is not thankful or appreciative. It is a very bad witness. And sadly, we've seen it. We've seen it in the house of God. We might even have done it ourselves. And God has had mercy over us to pull us up, to show us that this is such a bad witness. And of course it doesn't give glory to God. But as I close with this, the reason that I stress this also is because this can affect your confession. It affected the confession of the children of Israel, and it will affect your confession as well. If you are not a saint who gives thanks to the Lord, who is not appreciative, then it's going to affect your confession and your belief in the promises of God's word. And this is why you find that your prayers are not getting answered, or you're still battling a lot of unbelief and so on. There is the problem. It's because you don't give thanks to the Lord. You're not praising him. You're not appreciative. And when this happens, it will affect your confession. It will affect your belief in the word of God. Because we know in the word of God that as a man confesses, so is he. And so if you confess the negative, then that is what you are. And so we have to be on our guard what comes out of our mouth. And if there's nothing to say, or you haven't got any words, well then you've got a good example just to praise and thank the Lord. And that's better to him than a load of words which you don't really mean or insincere. And at times we do it, don't we? We say things, we don't really mean it, or we're not sincere. But the greatest thing you can give God is to give him the thanks and all the glory. And that isn't rocket science. I think this is a very important area, brothers and sisters. And at times, we're not always aware that we do this. But let the word of God change. Let him heal us and deliver us. And let us be a grateful and thankful people. And let us always give him the thanks and all the glory. And you just watch things change. Because God delights in his children who are appreciative, who appreciate when everything that he's doing, no matter whether great or small, every facet and area of your life, everything that you go through is working together for good. Whatever it looks like, however you feel, it is all working together for good. That is the good news of the gospel. Isn't that worth thanking and praising God in itself? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody's got excited. Well, bless you all. It's always a blessing to share God's word. I know it's no blinding revelation today, but it certainly had my name and address on it. And we do need to hear these admonitions at times, because our Father loves us and he wants us to get it right. And he wants FGA to be a church that praises and worships, a church that is appreciative and thankful, because it's all about our light shining in this dark.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down.